American Radio's Daily Defense.
Armed American Radio's Daily Defense, because they don't want me to, that's why I do it.
Presented by X Insurance.
X Insurance.
From the GunBroker.com studios on the Car Arms Platinum Microphone.
They're never going to stop us here.
Here is your host, the loudest conservative voice in America fighting the enemies of freedom, Mark Walters.
Welcome inside Armed American Radio's Daily Defense. This is the GunBroker.com studios. This is the Car Arms Platinum Microphone. And all of this is being presented to you by X Insurance, a superior company that gets rid of the gimmicks and all the stuff and gives you insurance, which is what you need, because that's what you need in your real life. More about that later. Before I go to my guest, and this is going to be a wildly fun show today, I promise you, it's what the hell is going on in Georgia Day? And we're going to try to answer some of those questions for you. Because as you know, the Armed American Radio, GunBroker.com studios, the Car Arms Microphone, is in Georgia. And it's you know, the eyes of the world are watching this state now. Who would have thunk that a few months ago, except the Democrats that began telling you, and the media that began feeding you the same exact bullet points about 6 months before the election, that Georgia was in play, like they knew something. The land of Stacey Abrams, failed gubernatorial candidate. Just what's going on here, because everything happening here matters to every single one of you, regardless of where you live. Your future rides on this state. I'll go to Jerry in just a second. Before I do that, I've got just a little bit of news here I want to give to you. Those of you who think Democrats aren't going to take your guns, nobody wants to take your guns. Texas Rep. Terry Mesa files a bill making it illegal to defend your home with a firearm. Now, this is so outrageous, it stands no chance in Texas. And I hate to even read this to you, but I read it to you for one reason. Because this is how radical these people will get. They will stop at absolutely nothing. They filed a barrage of bills in Texas, by the way, for the upcoming legislative session coming up in Texas. HB 196, though, seeks to repeal the Castle Doctrine in the state of Florida, or state of Texas, excuse me, which prevents a homeowner, get this, from using a firearm to defend your property. I'm not condoning stealing. It's against the law, this lunatic says, but it's not an offense that is punishable by death. Let me explain something to you, Miss Mesa. If you or any of your relatives use a crowbar to try to break into my home and steal my stuff in the middle of the night, I'm going to shoot you. Bill or no bill, because you are violating not only the law of Texas, you are violating my rights as a human being. And if you attempt to deprive me of my right to life, liberty, or pursuit of happiness, you lose your right to all three of the above instantly. So if you're committing a felony against me and my property and my loved ones and we're on the property, it's a bad thing for you. But you see, this is how far they're going. That's not a threat to her at all. That's saying if she's a criminal and is coming to my home to try to steal my stuff or harm me, you know, she's going to face... she's going to see a muzzle flash because I do have a right. But it's never going to pass in Texas. It's never going to go anywhere in the state of Texas. And I hate to even mention it to you, but this is what you're up against. This is what you are up against. Criminals beware in the state of Texas. Nobody's going to pay attention to this goofballishness that we're seeing from these Democrats. Jerry Henry, Executive Director of GeorgiaCarry.org. Jerry, steer me somewhere. Was I wrong in that statement? Too harsh? Please educate me here.
No, I think you were pretty well on that one. Being from Texas myself, of course, it's 42 years removed, but I can assure you that the people down here are not going to put up with that crap, just like we're not going to put up with it here. If you want to come into my house, fine, come on, but you're taking a chance. You're taking a chance that you can't get to me before I get to you. And I assure you, you're going to have to be pretty quick to do it.
Boy, I'll tell you what, man. This stuff angers me, Jerry, beyond the pale anymore that these people believe. Yep. And she says people are already attacking me on Facebook saying I'm against the Second Amendment. She clarified that homeowners would. Listen to this. You can't make this stuff up. She clarified that homeowners would still be allowed to defend their lives, but not using firearms. Using a firearm to fight an intruder would lead to legal problems for the victim. The victim. Yeah, they don't even know what a victim is. The victim is the homeowner who has to use the gun, right? Oh, God,
that's,
I tell you.
That's the way I see it.
Please, 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 Miss Mesa, don't decide to be a criminal, please, because you will be taking your life into your hands if you go into any home in Texas. Nobody's going to pay attention to this garbage, okay? That's just good word of advice. It really truly is. My gosh, this is insanity anymore. Jerry,
I agree with you. I agree with you. The last flash you will see will not be taking a mugshot of me.
No. I'm going to go back to a line in, I think it was Saving Private Ryan. He was on the ground before we heard the shot. There you go. You can take that whatever you want. All right, now, I'm going to hold up here. For those of you that are viewing on Facebook, I have just one line up here, and that is from yesterday's show. I have no notes here. Nothing. And I'll tell you why. Because of my guest today. Let me explain what I mean by that. I am probably more frustrated than anybody out here, Jerry, about what's going on in the state that I sit in right now, that I call home now, that you have called home for many, many years. And you and I had a couple of personal conversations where both of us vented our frustration. And I thought, you know what? This is a good conversation for America to hear because of what's at stake in this election, this runoff election. First, Jerry, no notes, no nothing. Let's just do this the way we do it on the phone and give listeners the benefit of the doubt. Let's just keep the language to a minimum, okay? Because we have to by law.
We'll try.
Well, let's, Greg, we'll stay on that dump switch, brother, okay? We would appreciate it. Stay close by
just
there,
in
right?
Case.
I heard the
just
word before case. I hit the dump switch. There you go. All right.
Yeah.
Here's
the
deal. Did you ever think 6, 8, 10 months ago that, quote unquote, Georgia would be in play to the extent that it is now?
Never. Not any more than I would have thought that anything else that's happened in the last few that's happened this year would have happened. I would have never thought that the state, any state, would have quarantined well people. But they did for months. And I've said all along, I know we're getting away from that part of it, but I've said all along that that's just a field trial to see how far the government can push us. And I think that there's some in there that think that they can push us a whole lot further. I'm one that thinks we've been pushed as far as we're going. The answer to your question is no. I would have never seen it. I would have never believed it. And one of the reasons I never believed it is we've heard that for the last 10 years, 12 years. In every election that came up, the media has tried to tell us that the Democrats are going to win the governorship. The Democrats are going to take over the House. The Democrats are going to do that. And they've never done it, not even come close. And now, obviously, something has happened that's allowed that to go forth.
All right. I'm going to ask you some questions to set up the rest of the hour, Jerry. And I'm not putting you on the spot. This is the same conversation we basically had the last two times we had the conversation on the phone. So this is for the benefit of listeners as you and I move forward through this hour, which is going to be fascinating for people who are listening, wondering what the hell is going on in the state that we sit in. Because I'm telling you right now, listeners and viewers, we're not sure either. Although hindsight is crystal clear, high definition vision when you're looking in the rearview mirror, we're beginning to see the picture get put together here, probably more so than you are because we're here. And that's what we're going to try to pull together for you here on the radio today and make you understand as best we can what we're all up against, what America is up against here. Jerry, let's go back to 2018. Let's go back to Kemp's election. Governor Brian Kemp, who we're going to talk about here, no holds barred. I'm not going to pull any punches when I talk about the governor here today because we can't. This is do or die where we're at right now. When in 2018, you would agree with me, I think, that Governor Kemp ran probably the single most pro-gun gubernatorial campaign that I've ever seen in my lifetime. Would you agree with that?
Well, definitely in Georgia, certainly. I would agree with that. I don't watch other states that much, but I would agree that he ran one in Georgia.
All right, and I'll clarify that. Let me say that's true. I don't know what other governors do, but I'll say that, and let me make that clear. Let me agree with you on that here in the state, at least in any state I've lived in, and I've lived in a number of states, I've never seen a race that was that pro-gun. Governor Kemp ran that race. I mean, he had a firearm in virtually every ad. He was accused of threatening the life of his girlfriend's boyfriend in those ads. You recall that, right?
Yes, I do. Now he didn't. He did that until he won the primary, and then after that, he did like nearly all the politicians do. He shuts up about guns because he
for the most
that
part.
Time, I'm sure that would hurt more than help. So he wanted to get on the other side, and that's not. I mean, that's just a fact of life. That's what every politician does. They do the same thing if they're running for president or governor or whatever they're running for. They start off with their base, and then when they get to where it's just them, they start moving into moving left or right to make things a little bit more moderate.
All right. We're going to come right back with Jerry Henry, and we're going to start digging into Brian Kemp, and we're going to talk about Stacey Abrams, and we're going to talk about Raffensperger. And what's going on here? We'll enlighten you back after this from the state of Georgia. Don't go away. This upcoming segment of Armed American Radio is being sponsored by GunBroker.com, the world's largest online marketplace to buy and sell firearms, ammo, and related accessories. That's GunBroker.com. Welcome back to the show. Welcome back to the show, indeed. Mark Walters here, bringing it to you across the country from the GunBroker.com studios on the Car Arms Platinum microphone. All of it being presented to you by X Insurance, an AM Best A-rated company. Ask who you have your membership plan through about their carrier and find out if you can get a copy of the policy written in your name. You can't. X Insurance will give you one because it's insurance just like you have for your house, your cars, your boats, your toys, your life, your health, your businesses. It's real insurance. And it's no gimmicky stuff here. It's real insurance. I have it. You should have it as well. Jerry Henry, Governor Brian Kemp. 1 hour ago tweeted, today I announced that Hyundai Transit will invest over $240 million on their automotive parts production in Georgia. That's all great. An hour before that, he tweeted, excuse me, that and he reminds us that it's National Handwashing Week. Thanks for that, Governor. I appreciate that. More than ever, I need to know that my governor is telling me that it's National Handwashing Week, and he wants me to regularly wash my hands with soap and warm water. Sometimes I use cold water. I guess I should write the governor and ask for instructions, but he wants me to keep my distance from other people, and he wants to make sure that I wear a face mask while washing my hands. Okay.
Well, I'd just like to tell the governor that I'd like to wash my hands of several things that are going on in this state right now.
Let's talk about them. Let's go back now. Okay. Did you want to, as we move into the next segment, did you want to put an exclamation point on anything we mentioned in the previous segment? Because I want to lay this out for listeners as we move through this next three segments.
No, I'm fine with that. If I see something needs exclamation point, I'll break in and tell you.
Please do. Let's go now back to, we were talking about the election, the pro-gun campaign that he ran. We're in agreement with that. Right. Now, let's talk now about the makeup. Viewers, listeners, I want you to understand the makeup of the state house in the state of Georgia. We have a veto-proof Republican majority in the Senate chamber. Is that correct?
I think we're one away from that, one or two away from that. We had it, but I don't think we do anymore.
Suffice to say, we have a very strong majority in the state Senate.
We have
Senate,
a very
Republican
strong.
Red.
That's correct. That's correct.
All right. Let's move over to the House side of things in the state of Georgia. Because everybody wants me to believe that Georgia's in play, that Georgia's a blue state. The state house in Georgia doesn't say that either. Certainly the Senate doesn't. We're up by red, meaning red, conservative Republican. And that's, and I say that because that's the party that, for now, is protecting our gun rights, or at least wants to, or says they are. 15 seat lead in the state house, right? Something like that?
16, it was 16 before the vote, and that's counting a speaker. So in order for us to lose it, we would have had to lose 16 seats.
And that's not going to happen. Now, we're getting ready to go to redistricting in the state of Georgia in the next session.
That's correct.
And
it did not happen.
And when that happens, explain that process, Jerry. Nobody knows more about this than you do. What happens?
Oh, I wouldn't say that. But the House, whoever's in charge of the House, is in charge of redistricting. And they redistrict according to basically the voting trends of the last several years. And the goal in every every decade when it comes time to redistrict, which we do every 10, 20, 30 years, the goal is to set the districts to where you know that you're going to have a majority for the next several years, unless something drastic happens. And normally nothing drastic happens. It'll make it, 9 or 10 years before you're even close to losing it again. And that's one of the reasons that it was so necessary for us to win that. And that's why a lot of people were scared that they were going to lose it. I was never afraid they were going to lose it. But they did lose. They did have a pretty good loss the year before. I believe they lost 10 seats the year before. And so that was what had everybody concerned. But once they get through drawing up their maps and deciding which district's going to be what, they send it to the governor. The governor signs it. And then I don't think we have to send it to the feds anymore. We used to about 4 years ago. Well, there were several years ago, there was a court case that said we didn't have to do it anymore. So as far as I know, we don't have to get approval of the federal government for our redistricting to stand.
All right. Now, they're going to do that when? This upcoming session, right?
Well, they do it. I believe they do it between the sessions. When the session gets here, they'll take care of their legislative stuff, and then they will go into their redistricting session.
All right, and Kemp now is in his second year, so this is going to occur with a Republican governor, correct?
That's correct. Right.
Okay. So listeners around the country, understand that what you're hearing here is the state house in the state of Georgia is going to stay red for quite some time. I don't want you to listen to what you're hearing on CNN. I don't want you to listen to what you're hearing on MSDNC and the rest of the crap garbage out there that you're getting. It's fake news. The Georgia state house is red. Now, we have a Republican governor, correct? I mean, Brian Kemp's a Republican, right?
Well, that's what he ran as.
Okay, that's what he ran as. That's what he was elected as. We're a little bit upset about it. I'm trying to lay a roadmap out. Don't divert me now, Jerry. I'm trying to.
I'll try not.
Create...
I'll try not.
There's method to my madness. I promise you.
I do have one thing. I do have one thing I wanted to say. When I was sitting here waiting for you to pick up on the phone, I thought, that I really wish. I'm not much of a conspiracy theorist. I really wish I was, because we've got some of the best material that we've had since Lyndon Johnson had John F. Kennedy shot.
We absolutely certainly do. I mean, this is since did you catch that? I'm not going to go back there. I hope you heard what he said. This is tinfoil hat central here. But I'm trying to draw a roadmap out here for listeners and viewers around the country. All right. Georgia's a red state is what I'm telling you. All right. Now, we've got an anomaly in there that's called, and let me go back to Stacey Abrams. Let's go back to that election. It's important that we go back 2 years. Stacey Abrams, when she was down by about 100,000 votes and the counting was still going on, she knew she wasn't going to win. Stacey Abrams stood up and started claiming voter disenfranchisement prior to what she knew was going to be a loss. And she started screaming the whole, if it's okay when Stacey Abrams starts screaming fraud and disenfranchisement and everything else. The media went crazy. All right. They just did what they do to all Democrats that are in office. They're lapdogs, and they played right into it. Jerry, is that right, or is that a wrong assessment?
No, that's correct. The only thing that I would argue is that she started a couple of years before that saying that voters were being disenfranchised.
Yeah, she's been on this train for a while.
Voter thing. She's been on that for a while, saying this is what it is, because the Democratic General Assembly in Georgia passed a bill that said that if you had not voted after 3 years, your name would be purged from the rolls. And that's why those names left the rolls, was because of that Democratic initiative. So
it wasn't from Kemp when he was Secretary of State.
That's
what they're laying out, and that's the big lie. Jerry, we're getting ready to take a break.
That's what they're saying.
What you just heard was exactly, it was their own policy that purged those roles after 3 years. That was their attempt to disenfranchise me as a Republican voter in the state of Georgia. That's what they attempted to do. And when it didn't work, they started screaming, fraud, disenfranchisement, I'm being disenfranchised. And the media plays right along. We'll be back with Jerry Henry. We're laying out a roadmap for you. Don't go away. Back right after this.
back to Armed American Radio's Daily Defense with Mark Walters.
Indeed, you are back in Armed American Radio's GunBroker.com, the GunBroker.com suite here on the Car Arms Platinum Microphone. All of this is being brought to you by xinsurance.com. We will go there in the next segment briefly because we've got to get through this with Jerry. I might have to get him to commit to another hour tomorrow because I don't know that we're going to get through all of it. So let's get started right away. Back, I'm talking with Jerry Henry, by the way, the executive director of GeorgiaCarry.org, who knows a hell of a lot about Georgia politics, knows how it's played, knows a lot of the players, and has been involved in the lobbying on behalf of all gun rights in the state of Georgia for many, many years in that state house. So he knows a lot more about that than me. Stacey Abrams, let's go back there. As you mentioned, she began playing games with this 2 years prior to. And the reason she did was because she knew she was going to run for governor. And she knew she was probably going to lose, so she knew that the only thing she was going to be able to stand on was the shenanigans that she could pull in certain parts of the states and that in certain parts of the state. And that would, of course, predominantly mean Fulton County and DeKalb County, and now maybe a little bit of Gwinnett. These are counties outside the state or outside the city of Atlanta that are reliably blue or turning reliably blue, Gwinnett being the one that's turned reliably blue, I believe. But Fulton and DeKalb have always been blue and always will be, unfortunately. Go ahead.
Right. And don't forget Savannah and Macon. They're the same way.
Savannah and Macon, and you get into the inner cities of those towns, it's the exact same thing. And she knew that was going to happen. So you can look at this being a setup from 2 years prior to the 18 election. This started back in 16 when she decided to run. Now, Stacey Abrams to this day has never conceded. Stacey Abrams, it's funny, we joke about it. There's a lot of memes around here. She believes she's the president of the state of Georgia, right? She thinks that. She has failed to concede the election. The media has never pressured her in any way, shape, or form. And going to this election with Kemp, she began calling out the race card. She began calling out the disenfranchisement. And she lost by a stadium full 57,000 people, even after she tried to rip it off and couldn't and still hasn't conceded. So then began her effort to do what for the 2020 election, which we saw in full play, Jerry?
Well, she did the same thing. She wanted to make everybody think that it was going to be voter fraud on our part, and we're not so sure there wasn't voter fraud on their part.
And where we are today, go ahead.
Go ahead. I'm not sure where you're headed.
I thought
Did
you want to finish your thought? I thought you wanted to finish that.
No.
Okay.
No. If I wanted to finish something, you know me, I'll go ahead and say it. But where we are today is we're sitting here looking at the possibility of Georgia losing two Republican senators and the whole country losing the Senate.
Now, let's go there, because we laid out for you, that's the roadmap. We're going to make a turn now. We can either go left or right in this state, literally left or right. We're at that fork in the road on January 5. What we just told you about the makeup of the state legislature in this state, what would make you, Jerry, think that Loeffler would lose and Perdue would lose and the state would be Biden blue, you know, Warnock blue, and John Goofball Ossoff blue, when the rest of the state and the legislature is red? How does that happen, Jerry?
Well, I don't see it happening. I'm not going to say it's not going to happen, but I don't see it happening. The main thing in any runoff election is voter turnout, regardless of whether you got fraud going on or not. If you don't get the people out there to vote, you know, it just takes less fraud. But the more people you can get out, the more fraud's going to take, and the less likely you are to overturn it. I don't believe that they're going to lose, but you can bet your bippy as soon as I can vote on election day, I will be down there pulling the tab.
All right. There's a couple things, viewers and listeners, that are in play here. Number one, let's take Loeffler first off. No question about it that Doug Collins siphoned off votes for her when there were over 20 names on the ballot in that jungle runoff. Right. Okay, that we just had. There were 20 total names. Collins, no doubt, siphoned off the most. If Loeffler had Collins had not been in the race, Loeffler would have been ahead of Warnock's percentage when those two were added together, because Loeffler, no doubt, would have siphoned off those votes. Now, let's look at Perdue briefly. Perdue is up right now today as we speak on the vote count if the vote were over today, and it should have been over today because he won. He's up 87,000 votes on goofball John Ossoff right now. And I say goofball because all their rising stars are losers. John Ossoff's a loser. Stacey Abrams is a loser. Beto O'Rourke, that upcomer, he's a loser. They're all losers. But in this particular case, you would have to, we would have to see what? Shift. Those 87,000 people obviously turn out. Let's assume they all turn out now. Then this should be a done deal for Purdue, correct? If we get the same turnout.
Well, if we get the same turnout, there's one other thing that, hurt Purdue was the Libertarian vote. And if the Libertarian comes out and votes for Purdue, then there should not be any kind of problem whatsoever. But still, I think that actually hurt them more than anything, was the fact that there were, I think there was about 7%. Libertarian, yeah. I might be a little bit high on that, but there was a small percentage of those that were Libertarian, and he missed 50% by just a fraction of a percent.
A fraction of a percent, because in Georgia, listeners and viewers, you need 50.1% essentially in order to avoid a runoff. Yeah. So I want your thoughts, and I know listeners, I want your thoughts on Loeffler's race now that Collins is out. I want America to hear what you think is going to happen on that side. They're under vicious attack from the left right now. Millions of dollars are being spent in this state to come after both of these individuals. And then let's tie Kemp back into this. I want to bring Kemp back into this because it's very important. Your take on Loeffler with Collins out now, what do you think? Same type of analysis you just gave us on Purdue.
Well, I think that she's in line to win it. I think she will win it. I think she would have probably not had to go to a runoff had there not been 20 people in that election.
Mm-hmm.
But there were. That was, you know, Republicans a lot of times shoot themselves in the foot. And we've been known to do so. And I believe in this particular race, the Republicans shot themselves in the foot because we had two strong Republicans running that were going to fight for the votes. If we had only had one strong Republican running, we would have won it. We would not have to go to a runoff, in my opinion.
Does Collins take blame for that? Should he have stayed out of it?
Well, that's up to him. You know, it's always up to him. But the fact is that Kemp could be given some of the blame, too. Kemp's the one that appointed her to replace Johnny Isaacson. And there was Collins already up there as a representative. And so him running for governor, and a lot of people thought that the governor should have appointed Collins as a senator. Mm-hmm. And had that happened, we wouldn't have to worry about anything, I don't believe. But, again, you got two strong Republicans running. One of them was appointed by Kemp. One of them said, I'm going to run for Senate, and they made their run. So, therefore, we wound up having two good candidates running and wound up losing one good candidate because we lost the House seat. We didn't lose the House seat, but we lost him in the House seat. We still won that House seat. But
let's break this down. Let's go a little deeper, Jerry. Let me go a little bit deeper because let's go back to the fight with Kemp. Trump endorsed Kemp during his campaign here. Trump was very upset at Kemp for not appointing Collins to that seat. That was Trump's number one pick.
Yes, he
felt a little bit chided by Kemp about that. So I think there was anger there to begin with. No question about it. But let's follow the money trail because I'm sitting here wondering when this was going on in the state. Who is she? Where is she coming from? Nobody knows her. And then you find out after the fact, you begin to hear more things about her, that her and her husband own the New York Stock Exchange. They're worth hundreds of millions of dollars. And you got to scratch your head and go, if we follow the money trail and you combine money trail with politician, well, certainly Kemp must feel there's something in it for him in a reelection campaign if he can put that money behind him. Now, we're getting ready to take a break. When we come back, Jerry, I want to take you to the provocative issue we talked about yesterday. Keeping what we just said in mind, we're going to slide into home here with this thing for you. Is Hollywood involved? Could Hollywood have gotten to Kemp? Why am I even asking that? Because Kemp is AWOL. We're going to talk with Jerry about where the hell Brian Kemp is. Where's Waldo? We're going to try to find him. Don't go away. following segment of Armed American Radio is being brought to you by Defender Coffee. When you drink Defender Coffee, you're making a donation to a gun rights organization of your choice that protects and defends your freedoms. Welcome back to the show. Iced Defender Coffee in my Defender Coffee mug today. If you're looking at the camera, there it is. You can see a little bit of the, see the little dew on there from the iced coffee. I love that stuff. Lead Slingers. Oh, don't forget, promo code AAR. Throughout the holidays, DefenderCoffee.com. My portion of the profits I give to the Second Amendment Foundation. I love Derek and the crew over there. They're wonderful. And while other coffee companies out there have troubles, all you got to do is drink better coffee and give your profits to the Second Amendment Foundation like I do. It's a no-brainer. Just do it. Great coffee doesn't cost you any more money, and you don't have to dig deeper into the pockets to donate to the SAF and Alan Gottlieb, who are fighting in courtrooms around the country because Derek's doing it for you simply for drinking great coffee. It's kind of a no-brainer, right? X Insurance, xinsurance.com. Start your official real insurance quote today, xinsurance.com. Fill it out online. Business policies, gap policies, umbrella policies, concealed carry policies. You a cop? Need some help? X has your back. You carry a gun as a professional, a security guard? Maybe you're, maybe you're a armored truck guard. X has your back. X Insurance, AM Best, A-rated real insurance company. What are you waiting for? Get away from the gimmicks. Go out and get yourself a grown-up policy for your grown-up life. It's very important in these perilous times. I can't stress that enough. I did it. I sleep well at night knowing what I have is written for me. And there are people there that have my back 24/7. And I don't have to worry about other people who might be there because somebody else says they might be there. Wow, I don't want to do that. My homeowners and my banks and my cars and my lenders would never allow that to happen there, and I don't want it for my real life when my freedom is on the line. X Insurance has got it going on. Car Arms, it's Car Arms Platinum Microphone, gunbroker.com studios. If you can't find it on your shelves, you can find it at Gunbroker. How do I know that? They're going to do over $1 billion this year because nobody can find it on their shelves. Gunbroker's just cranking over there, and it's 100,000 gazillion percent free, and I know Donald Trump would agree with me. 1,000%. I know he would.
I am with you 1,000%.
You see, he's with me 1,000% on that. Gunbroker.com. North American Arms also. We support them. They support us. And dare I say, well, I think I've got it covered. I think I covered it, right? All right, let's go back to Jerry Henry. Jerry, we got to slide back into home here. First off, very quickly, Stacey Abrams is now telling us, I mean, days after the November 3rd election, she was telling us that they already had 800,000, you know, ballots requested already, which to me is patently absurd. But that doesn't stop them from saying it. It doesn't stop them from saying that.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I've gotten two or three texts here from people asking me if I wanted them to send me a request for ballot. So they're texting everybody. They're emailing mm-hmm. people and saying, do you want one? If you do, we'll send you one.
Okay.
Which I don't like very much at all.
Well, no, you shouldn't like it very much at all. And I'm going to have to move quick with you here as we go through.
It's being reported to the Secretary of State.
Oh boy, big deal, Raffensperger. We don't even want to talk about him now. Although
I agree with that, but it needs to. It's a fact that that's who you're going to have to report it to, whether you like him or not.
That's true. And you know what? The Dems don't care. They don't care about any of this. Why? Let's go back to that scumbag Harry Reid. Harry, why did you lie about Romney's taxes? He turns around and he says, it worked, didn't it? These people don't care, Jerry. They don't care. They don't care. The ends justify the means. All right, so here we have this now. We saw the little pathway. It started with Stacey Abrams. She plays a major role. We already expect there's going to be, again, in this. And we've already laid out for you that this is a red state, listener. This is a red state at the state level. It's a red state in the governor's mansion. And what you're seeing here, if what Jerry and I are saying to you is true, you should have Loeffler and you should have Perdue. And I hope that makes you feel a little better. But, Jerry, I got to be honest with you. I have no idea when you see what Stacey Abrams and the rest of these people were able to pull off. People say, well, you can't prove fraud. And I'm saying you're correct about that. That just shows you how good they are at it. They've been working on this for quite some time. There's mathematical anomalies here. There's things we just laid out about the makeup of the state that don't make sense. So we'll see what happens after this one. But we look at the last one in November 3rd and we think, is the same thing going to happen? You would tend to believe it would. Now, let me ask you, about Hollywood, like I asked you on the phone yesterday. You remember, Jerry, the right to life bill that passed here in the state of Georgia, correct?
Yes, I do.
Holly Weird went absolutely bonkos berserk. They went nuts. They threatened to pull billions of dollars out of Georgia and the film industry right out of this state. And you had every left-wing lunatic wacko, including that super hot Alyssa Milano. I hope you're listening, Alyssa. I think you're really good looking. I hate your politics, and I want you to get the hell out of the state. But I still think you're hot. We can go both ways there, right? Here's the deal. She's out here running her mouth, threatening, you know, Georgians and businesses and everything else because of that bill. Is it possible? Because here we go now to the end. Kemp has been silent, Jerry. He's been AWOL. We don't know where he's been. Is it possible Hollywood got a hold of him and said, hey, look, dude, open your mouth and we're going to yank $30 billion out of your economy? And he just said, well, you know what? Is that possible?
Well, you seem to think it is. I don't think it is. And I'll tell you why. They're not going to come down here. They spent billions of dollars, all right, down here already. There's a reason that you see the Georgia film industry on every TV show almost that's produced nowadays or was before the scamdemic. There's a reason for
that. You said scamdemic. Did you mean dempanic? I mean pandemic? I'm sorry.
Whatever. Close enough. But there's a reason you see that little logo down there. Because they're making money. That represents money to them. And those people that got their money invested in are making those movies really could care less what Milano has to say about Georgia's government. They're looking at in the pot. They're not going to draw that kind of money, in my opinion. They're not going to pull that kind of money, walk off and leave that kind of money, basically, in this state. Because they have built, down here around me, there's more studios you can shake a stick at.
Yeah.
I mean, they have built them, and they've taken places and modified them and made them into sound stages, et cetera. And they're not going to turn around and go back to California where they were losing money to begin with. Yeah. I just don't see that happening. Until there's enough people that move here from Hollywood that can control the vote, I don't see anything like that happening.
All right. Well, let me play devil's advocate to you.
I have mine.
And okay. That's fine. That's why we talked about this, listeners. Jerry and I spoke about this privately on the phone yesterday, and I knew he was going to say what he just said because he's a man of his word. That's what he said yesterday. Here's why I will disagree with him, because we don't know how much is at stake. We only know what we're told. We also know that apparently Brian Kemp's not quite as strong as we think he might be. He's displaying that weakness of leadership right now, which makes me believe that it is possible that they got to him to a certain extent based on those billions. And then if you look at the way he moved forward with Loeffler and you follow the money trail there, it just kind of smells like fresh, crisp $100 bills in big stacks. And you know how the smell of money is to a politician. I could be wrong. It is just a guess. I'm asking the question. I don't know the answer, but we have to throw it at you. Jerry, we're getting ready to take a break. People want to hear from you. Do we keep this state in the Senate? Do we keep it?
I believe we do.
All right.
But then on the other hand, I'm an optimist.
Well, you know, I'm an optimist, my friend, too. Jerry, I could use a lot more time with you today. I thank you so much for being here. I'm probably going to be leaning on you at least a few more times as we come up to January 5th. OK,
well, you know where I am. You know how to get over.
And I will find you in the very near future.
Usual.
Thank you, Jerry. We appreciate it.
I enjoy our other conversations. We'll see you.
Sounds good. Jerry Henry, executive director of GeorgiaCarry.org. Great program today. A lot of fun. Kind of went down a bunch of different roads with you, but you got to hear from two of us who are sitting in the state now. We don't know where Kemp is either. Where's Waldo? Who knows? We're going to keep looking for him. It's that simple. Armed American Radio is going to get up and do it again tomorrow. Until then, enjoy the rest of your day, and we'll see you on the radio. Remember, carry on, carry off, and carry absolutely everywhere. Never leave your cave without your club.
Your prescription for freedom with Mark Walters, presented by X Insurance. X Insurance on the Armed American Radio Network.